good to be here tonight. Just move that out of the way. I got this mic. You might not have to. I get quite loud. I get excited about preaching about Jesus Christ. I thank God for what He's did in my life. If you've come from where I come from, you'd understand why I get excited. You see, I got excited for the devil. Now I get excited for Jesus Christ, and I thank God for the opportunity that He's given us. And so I thank God for the opportunity He's given me to come and talk to the young people. I don't get to do that very much. But I thank God for Him giving us this opportunity. And so I'm just going to spend a few minutes doing your favorite thing, listening to the Bible. Ain't that fun? If it ain't, it should be. If it ain't, it should be a part of your life every day. Whether you're Christian or not Christian, whoever that young person was that raised their hand, thank God at least you're brave enough to raise your hand.
That's right.
Because I know there's young people in this room that claim to be saved and they're not. You say, how do you know that? I travel the country around enough to know. Okay, I can start a ministry, brother, a ministry with just Baptist children alone that are in jail and prison today. I have pastors, brother, call me up all the time, asking me, deacons, members of the church, saying, can you please come and visit my son or my daughter? They're in prison, or they're in a rehab, or they're out there on the streets. Can you go and help them? You see, what happens is we just think of the unchurched people. We think it's just happening to those that don't regularly go to church. But tell you what we've done in the last couple of years, burying Baptist children who've grown up in Sunday school because they think it can't happen to them. Let me just tell you, church people, if you think it can't happen to you, that's the one the devil's coming after. There's only one way to be safe: Jesus Christ and the King James Bible. Okay, take it from somebody who's been there. I'm not somebody who's not talking from experience. I lived on the streets for many years. I'm an ex-gang member. Got delivered from a very violent gang. Spent many years in jails and prisons. Let me tell you something. It's not a place you want to go. Outside of the church, outside of your family's home, there is no good thing out there in the streets. Some of y'all look at your faces already and see how deep you're already into it. The marks on your body, the marks on your face, I see it already. Plain as day, let me just tell you this. My heart breaks for you. Because I know where you're headed. In God's mercy, I'll never have to stand over anybody's casket. You just keep thinking it can't happen to you. You just keep thinking that everything that these men come up here, we preach the Bible, we preach the Word of God, you just think that it's just some church stuff and some nonsense and a joke. You're going to find yourself in a place you wish you never were. And some of you are already one step away from that. You're already one step away from that. God in His mercy. God, look at me. God in His mercy, help you. God in His mercy, help you. Because I just tell you this right now. There are people today who sat in church their whole life who are dead and gone who would love to have one more opportunity that you have tonight. One more opportunity. I'll just say this, in the book of Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there, we're not going to start there, but the book of Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days have not come. Look, it's remember God in this day. We are heading in a time that we have never seen in history. We are living in perilous times. We're living in last days. And yet we live and we play like it's a joke.
Right.
Young Christian people, stop separating yourself from worldly people. Be their friend. You, okay, so you say you're saved and you're in. What about them? Why are we so separate from them? Why do we think we're so much better than them out there? We don't have to do what they do, but my goodness, Jesus Christ is going to preach the gospel to everybody. Remember God in your youth, while evil has not come upon you, my friends. Remember, because you know what? You're living in what they call a greenhouse right now, protected by mommy and daddy, protected by your church. But the very moment you step out, listen, here's the disease among young Baptist children today. They cannot wait till they're 18 years old to get out of mommy and daddy's house to go to Christian college. And let me tell you what happens when they get to Christian college. Destruction. Why? Because for years, all they've been doing is conforming to what mommy and daddy wants and throwing the rest out the window. They've got no relationship with God. They've got no relationship with their pastor. They've got no relationship with their parents. It's a shame. Well, in your youth, you may or may not have had extremely bad things happen in your life or things that have happened to you, but God wants to limit that. And He wants to keep it from you. Look, you don't have to live my life to be guilty like me. You know, it took the same blood to save me as it did them.
Right.
You see that cross? That ground there at Calvary is level. Doesn't matter where you come from. Jesus Christ died for the ones that aren't church, and He died for those that are church. There ain't no separate. God don't see things like that. God has given us a way to, look at, God has given us a way to protect ourselves from what we call the world. What is the world? That's that non-Christian lifestyle. That's those who are living outside of churches, those who are not saved, those who are out there living. It's called the world. As a Christian, many people know what the world means. Many people don't know what the world means. The world means it's something that's outside of the Christian life. Many Christians live in this world, but they're not part of the world, okay? What that means is we try to live a separate life. We try to live differently than other people because we want people to see Christ in us. To not be ashamed. Unashamed. How wonderful. How many people, honestly, in your heart can say tonight, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, you can. How many can you say that you're really not ashamed? It's easy. Look, it's easy not to be ashamed around church people. That's easy, man. Here's the hard part is when you're not around church people. The hard part is when you're out there on your own. Do you want Jesus Christ? Let me just ask you this. Charles Spurgeon asked the question. He said this. If hell was not in the equation, would you still want Jesus?
That's good.
Or do you love your sin that much? Let's not have any playing around in the front row. I'll separate you. All right? No playing around. Time to listen. Time to listen. Time to listen. Well, that's just how I roll. It doesn't matter to me. I didn't come here to have you guys sitting bunched up together and, you know, tapping each other and playing and laughing. That's not why we're here. We're here because it's a serious matter. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, if you were to die tonight, which most of you don't think it can happen to you, because you think that you're young. And look, I have a lot more time to live. You don't know that tonight. You can walk out of here. This could be your last time ever seeing the inside of a church. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you'll bust hell wide open. You go, man, you're awfully hard on that stuff because I care. I care about what happens to people. I care about where they're going to go after eternity. I'm not here because somebody's giving me money. I'm not here, but I didn't drive 3.5 hours out here to watch you have fun and games. I came out here to tell you about this man named Jesus Christ, and there's a way that He can protect you from those things that you're heading in. That line you're getting ready to cross, which I know you think that you don't do. You're going to cross that line. You might not find your way back. God has given us a provision. He has given us a way to protect ourselves. He's given us, as Christians, He's given us a way to protect ourselves even if we grew up in a Christian church. In a Christian home. What is that protection? Number one, it's Jesus Christ. God forbid if you're in here tonight without Jesus Christ. That's your first thing you need to do is get saved. The second thing that you need to stay out of this world is that Bible. That Bible is life. That Bible will show you exactly what you are in God's eyes. The problem is nobody wants to see what they are in God's eyes. They like what they are and who they are. They don't want to change what they are. They don't want to change what they're facing. But here's what they don't like is the outcome. I had a guy who I work with quite often, and he told me this. He said, Dale, the only reason why I want to stop drugs is because of the consequence, not the feeling. They love the feeling of getting high, but they don't like the consequences. My friend, that's how you're going to treat your life. You're going to treat your life that way regardless of where you come from, regardless of what background you have. You'll do that same thing. God help us. Remember, not now thy youth, remember the Creator in your youth. My prayer is always this, that God would help me and my children. My son's going to college now. He's got to go out there and face the world. And my prayer is this, did we do enough?
Right.
Did we put enough Word of God inside of him that can hold him and sustain him? Yeah. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no success. You can take that for what you want. That's the truth. Yeah. If you have a Bible in here, I want you to start turning to Proverbs chapter 7. The Word of God is the King James Bible. Bible is an acronym for basic instructions before leaving earth. God gave us an instruction manual on how to run our life. Okay? And he gave us that instruction manual not to just know it. It's cute and it's nice. You know, we can learn verses. That's wonderful. Oh, how great is that? But God isn't worried about how many verses that you know. He's worried about how many you can live. God didn't give you a Bible just to memorize it and not ever live it and not ever put it to use. It's an instruction manual to put in your life to teach you how to run your life, how to get to Jesus Christ, how to avoid those things that I lived through and many other people in this room may have lived through. You don't have to go through that. And God gave us an instruction manual called the Bible. And it will show you how to live your life. Let me just say this. I didn't grow up with church in my home. I never had a Bible in my home. My mother, the only time I ever heard of Jesus Christ or God was a curse word out of my mother's mouth. You know when I first started hearing about this Jesus Christ? Is when I went to the boys' home in Buffalo, New York, Father Baker. I started hearing about this man, Jesus Christ. It was a little too late because I was hell-bent on living whatever life I wanted to live. And in that place, I already had to fight because I was molested as a little boy. I was molested by a girl and I was molested by a man at a young age. I went in that boy's home, but what do you think I had to fight for? I had to fight for my life. Who's 13 in here? Anybody 13 or older? Anybody 13 or older? Had you guys had to go out there and fight somebody to keep them off you so they didn't rape you? That's what my life was. That's how it began. And it made me very hateful, made me very bitter. And I grew up, and when I grew up a very violent person. I found myself that when I hurt other people, I got relief from hurting other people. Look, you don't have to get there, because look what happens when you start hurting other people, your conscience starts bothering you. It's not like I just woke up one day and said, I'm going to go out there and be a convict. I'm going to go out there and be a drug addict. Hey, I'm just going to go out there and be a gang member. You think I just woke up one morning doing that? I had a conscience at one time in my life. I had a heart. People meant something to me. But then they started taking stuff from me, and I started taking it from them. How do you stop that? Well, I'm going to go get drugs. I'm going to go to the psychiatrist and have them put me on every kind of drug possible. Before I got saved, I was taking 10 psychotropic drugs a day. Every single day, for bipolar disorder, anger disorder, explosive anger disorder, depression, PTSD, you name it, and they had a pill for it, and when that pill didn't work, they put me on another one. My goodness. And then I'm trying to cover it up with drugs and alcohol, and out there trying to join gangs and become a violent gang member, trying to calm that conscience down. Well, it didn't work. I ran into this man named Jesus Christ 12 years ago, and he's changed my life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I'm up here telling you something, I'm not up here telling you something because I want you to join a church. Wouldn't be a bad thing for you. Been in many rehabs and many mental hospitals, brother. Many jails and prisons, the ones he's even worked in. For 40 years, this world tried to change me, and they couldn't. They couldn't do it with their programs. They couldn't do it with their medications. They couldn't do it with nothing. 12 years ago, I ran into Jesus Christ. It turned my life upside down.
Amen.
How have you sustained it? How did I get off a 15-year opioid addiction? Well, I took other pills to get off it. No, that's foolish. Jesus Christ got me off them. Jesus Christ is the one who delivered me from that. Today, it's a shame because the churches don't believe in the power of God to change lives anymore.
Yeah.
My goodness, what is he anymore to people? When you're looking at a man who needed nothing but Jesus Christ, a King James Bible in church, that's my success. No other programs, no other counselings. By the way, I am not in recovery. I'm recovered, ED. It's over with.
Yeah.
I'm not an addict anymore. Yeah. Jesus Christ took that from me. He gave me a new life. That's gone.
Amen.
Well, Proverbs chapter 7 here. Let's just read verse 1. I just want you to realize there's some things here that God has given us that help keep us away from the world, that help keep us out of those things. And look what it says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with me. It says to keep it means to hold, to retain, or to continue to have. Okay, when we get that Bible and we read it, and we don't just read it for one time and just go ahead and walk away with it. It says keep that with you. It's your protection. It's what becomes your life. It's what's going to help you make decisions. It's what's going to help you in your life. It's going to give you direction in your life. You must keep that thing with you. How can we keep the world out of our life? How can we keep the drugs and the depression and those things that we're heading for? How can we keep those things away from us? We keep the Word of God. We keep church. We keep praying. We need Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you won't be successful. That's a fact. He says, keep my words. Retain them. Continue to have them. And it goes on, it says, lay up my commandments. To lay is to take upon yourself, to set it, to apply it. So not only do we keep it, but we have to apply it in our lives. How many of you can apply the Word of God to your lives tonight? How many can you say, you know what, Dale? I take that Word of God, I read that. I'm not talking about just doing a devotion. I'm talking about studying too, my friend. Doing devotion is wonderful. But the Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, not read. You know what the difference is? When you get up and do your devotional, that's something somebody taught you. That becomes a program. You do that robotically. Studying means you've got to put something away. You've got to put time. You've got to make time to go in there and do that. That's showing God that you're serious about this thing. There's no way I could have ever lived the life that I live today outside of having that Bible to give me direction.
Amen.
Never. It's proven by my track record. I got a 15-page rap sheet. I've done prison time and jail time in 3 different states. It's obvious that I did not know how to run my life. So who was going to run my life? Well, society, the man, prison, and programs didn't change my life. So what changed my life? Jesus Christ and that Bible. It gave me direction and now keeps me from those very things that I was in. Crystal meth was my favorite drug of choice. Crystal meth and cocaine. And I was so addicted, I was 118 pounds with sores all over my body. I didn't just wake up one morning and say, I want to be a meth addict. One thing to another. Look at, ready? Church people, church kids, look at. One small compromise will lead to another.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll catch yourself in a place you never thought. How did I get here? Because you're not taking the heed to the Word of God. You're not taking heed to the preacher. I know many people who say, well, you know, I grew up in church, so they got a ticket punched. Just because you grew up in church, you think your ticket's punched. It's not. You need Jesus Christ outside of mommy and daddy. My kids, they don't know nothing else but church, brother. They grew up in church, but that don't give them a free ride to heaven. Brother, that's what's going on in churches today. Their kids are duped into thinking just because mommy and daddy are in church that I'm okay.
Yeah.
You need the Bible just as much as somebody who's in the world. How do we do that? Keep them. Lay them up with yourself. Look at verse 2. It says, keep my commandments. Again, he says, keep those things. Continue to have them. He says, keep my commandments and live. You see what that said? Keep his commandments and live. It will save your life. It will save you from dying the death. It will save you from dying without Jesus Christ and busting hell wide open. He says, if you keep my commandments, take those things and put them in your heart, it will keep you and you will not die but live. The problem with today's society is, the problem with people, come with me to Proverbs 30. I'll show you the problem right now with the society that will, and look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. Look what it says here. We're going to talk about this in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. It says this in Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. How many of you in here today will talk to your mother, cuss at her, ignore her, don't listen to her? How many of you do that tonight? How many of you are doing that to your father if you have one even living at home? I grew up without a dad in my home. My dad left at an early age. He beat my mother, threw her in the closet, and left. But you know what God made me do after I got saved? He made me honor a woman, my mother, who was very abusive. I grew up with an abusive mother. I'm 52 years old. My mother still tries to abuse me with her mouth. You know what Jesus Christ did after I got saved? He said, you'll honor your mother. I said, how can I ever honor something like that? You see, he didn't give me an excuse. How many of you today here, even today, curse your mother and your father? There's no respect to parents anymore. I watch church children do the same thing. There's no honor and no respect towards their parents anymore. Why? Because as a generation, they think they're okay. Look at the next verse says. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes. They think they're okay. They think that no matter what they do, and I'm just telling you, there are people in this church tonight who think they're okay in the position that they're in. They think they're okay with the life that they live. Those things, the things that they think. How about today, it's right on your phone. And you got them in your bedroom. Hey,
that's right.
19 years old and going to be 16. Are you allowed a phone in your room?
No.
I'll bust that sucker wide open. You know why? Because you're looking at the filth that's in your mind. The filth that you're looking at today will destroy you.
That's right.
And it'll make you something. Hey, look at church kids. Don't think you're, look at man. You know what they say? Here's the poll. Here's what they say. Almost 100% in 1 week of Baptist kids and men have looked at pornography at least once during the week. Destructive.
That's right.
It will destroy your life.
That's right.
Even if you're looking at somebody in a bikini, shame on you. You got to keep your eyes off of that stuff. And now where is it at? It's in your room. How about the music you're listening to? I can just see by the way some of you, the way you dress, I know what you listen to. How about it? Doing good for you? You'll say yes in your heart. How many of you just said yes in your heart? Raise your hand. You know you did. The music's destroying you. Why? Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible says this, that the devil was created with music inside of him. He was the most beautiful being ever created. He stood over the throne and he played music, did he not? What do you think he uses to destroy lives today? Music. Daniel chapter 3, what did he do? Nebuchadnezzar played music to get them to bow down to a false god. Watch it, church people. Watch what you're calling music. Better be careful what you think music is. Better go to the Lord and find out what real music is. No. Look at it says, there's a generation that's pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. But they walk around like they're okay. They have it all down. Don't worry, mom and dad. Don't worry, church people. We're going to be just fine. And then next thing you know, I'm getting a phone call. I walk into a prison. I go, man, how did you get here? Well, I thought I knew better. I thought I was okay. I'm going to say something to you young people. I know you think you got it all figured out. I know you think that you have everything, you know exactly where it needs to be, that you're okay, you really don't need somebody telling you what to do, you really don't need anybody guiding you and directing you. Let me tell you something, I'm 52 years old, I still need that today. The very moment you think that you're okay and going to be out there on your own, I can't even imagine today. I can't even imagine today what young people have given themselves over to and they call it okay. They're giving themselves an excuse of why they do what they do. Giving yourself an excuse of why you get involved in the things that you're getting involved in. Why? Because there's a generation, it says, that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Verse 13, there's a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes. When I look down from this pulpit, what, you know what I see? A people full of pride. High lifted up. I'm okay. I have this. He's a fool up there talking this stuff. He's just crazy. He's nuts. I don't agree with what he has to say. That's somebody who's lofty. And you know what? There are lofty people in this room. Why? Because you think you're clean. You think you're okay. One day, you'll answer for what you're getting yourself into. You know, one day you're going to answer for those things that you do and you think that you're okay. And you know what? That's what we try to avoid by having rallies like this. We try to avoid you getting out there and getting in the world. We try to avoid you getting involved in those things. We try to avoid any more. I know some people have put themselves in harm already. They put themselves in bad ways. Look at, God wants to come in and stop it now and heal it from this point on. He doesn't want you to get worse. I'm just telling you, man, I see it all the time. I watch it all the time where I see these young people start off. They think that they're okay. They think they're doing fine. I got this. It's not a big deal. And then next thing you know, I look at them. I go, my goodness, how did you get in this rehab? What's all those needle marks on your arm? What do you mean you're pregnant? You say, well, you're just trying to stop us from having fun. No, I'm trying to protect you. You know why God gave us a Bible? To protect you from the hurt. You know why your life is hurt? You know why your life is depressing? You know why your life is not fun? It's because you're living outside of this. I know. I see the lofty eyes. I see you looking up here at me, and you're just thinking in your head, man, this dude is crazy. But when you're by yourself and you're on the phone on Facebook and everything else, and you want to kill yourself, I mean, telling people all the time, I wish I could die. I hate myself. I can't stand myself. You know, so-and-so is this, and I'm that. I mean, I know that's going on in your head. I know that's going on in your life. I know that's going on in your heart. But yet you sit here tonight with your lofty eyes thinking, he's just crazy. You know what that is? It shows me your guilty face. I see it written on your face. It's not hard to tell. I'm an ex-convict. Cons, no convicts. Okay? That's a reality. But it doesn't have to be that way anymore. It doesn't have to be where you have to take those next steps and give this up and get into that. God says he can stop that. He can give you that new life. Amen. He wants to give you that new life. What a wonderful life it is to have Jesus Christ. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in a religious home. I didn't grow up with the Bible in my home. I grew up out there being abused. I grew up out there abusing people, in and out of jails and prisons my entire life, being hooked on drugs and everything else. And what did it benefit? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing out there in this world that's ever going to benefit you. But Jesus Christ can come in and give you something that you've never had. Ever. But that's up to you. Verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are swords. Just talking, always cutting, always saying something about somebody, always saying something about whatever. And look, let me just say something. You don't always have to say stuff outwardly. Your heart. What you think in your heart. I could come up to somebody right now and say, hey, Luke, this is what I want you to do. And Luke said, all right, Dad, go do it. But in his heart, he's cussing me out. That's what God's looking at. He's not looking at what you do on the outward. He's not looking at how obedient you think you are on the outward. He's looking at what you said in your heart. He's looking at what you thought in your heart. That's what God is looking at. He doesn't care about what you do outwardly. He's looking on your attitude on the inside. He's looking at the attitude on who you are. That's what he's trying to get at, my friend. And he says, there's a generation whose teeth are as sword, and their jaws are as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. There's a generation who thinks they're okay. There's a generation that you talked about earlier who are coming up. Look, he said, America's on fire. Why is it on fire? Because that generation that's coming up behind us, that generation that's coming up behind us, man, they're leaving church. I just read a poll today. 575,000 in the last year Baptist people have left the Baptist churches. 575,000. Most of them are teenagers. They become 18 years old and bounce out of the house. They leave, thinking that it's greener on the other side, and it's not. Well, I'm almost done here. Proverbs chapter 7. Go back there if you got your Bible. We already know it says, keep my words, lay thy commandments. And then it goes on in verse 2 again. It says, keep my commandments and live. It's not a punishment to live by God's word. Most people think, well, God's just trying to keep me from having fun. Oh, no. Could you imagine this, Pastor? If people would stop fornicating, how many less abortions would you think would be out there? If people would stop fornicating, how much would the diseases go down? If people stop doing what God asked them to do, how about abandoned children? How about fathers and mothers that just leave their children? Fornication is not a punishment. When God tells you not to fornicate, it's not a punishment. He's not taking anything far away from you. He's protecting you. He's protecting you from yourself. He's protecting other people. He's protecting you from harm. When God says to do something, it's not because he's trying to punish you. But in your young mind, you think, well, that God, my parents are just trying to take that away from me. God's just trying to take that away from me. No, out of a perfect love, he's trying to protect you from what's out there. He's trying to show you that what's out there is no good. What's out there is only going to hurt you. God in his mercy. God in his mercy. That's the only reason I stand up here tonight. It's his mercy. I could have been killed out there as that gang member. I could have died from a drug overdose. But God in his mercy sent a man my way to preach the word to me. And I seen something that I wanted out of what I was in. You know what the problem with you young people? You don't want out of what you're in. You're enjoying it right now. And it'll destroy you. You're enjoying something that's going to destroy you. Oh, if I could just ask you a question. And verse 3 says, bind them upon thy fingers. To bind is to tie them or to take a hold of, to be ready to use the word of God to direct you in all that you do. Would to God would get back into listening and doing what the Bible says when it says to bind them. That means to take them upon yourself and let them guide you in the decisions you make. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what family background you have. This Bible will give you direction. It will give you life beyond anything you ever thought. But I'm just telling you, you got to bind the word of God. Take that with you and let it make those decisions. We pray, you know, what car should we get? You know, people don't even do that anymore. They don't include God in their decisions. Young people, Christians, whoever's saved in here, on whatever side of the room you're on, you ought to be including God in everything. You ought to be asking about everything. Who's your husband? Who's your wife? Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm watching these young kids destroy their lives because they come together in a church and they see this little pretty girl, this little handsome guy. Well, that must be the one for me. And they're getting married. Because her whole life you've been taught to be a mom. And then you go, I want to be a mom. And with your lips you say, I want to be a mom and I want to be a dad. And the very moment God starts giving you babies, and the very moment your husband comes home from work and says, look, I want to eat. You go, but man, I'm pregnant. I got a baby. You go, but man, I'm hungry. You know what happens? That woman hates her husband and hates her children. Why? Because with her lips, she said it, not with her heart. You got to prepare yourself for marriage instead of just going out there and giving it away. I know everybody in here is not virgins. And if you are a virgin physically, you ain't with your eyes. That's a reality. You ain't with your eyes. The sad part is today, as I watch these men, young men getting married, and they're going up to the altar, and I'll pull them aside, I said, look, don't lie to your wife and tell her that you're a virgin. I said, because you may be a virgin in your body, but with your eyes, you're not. I said, don't you dare bring that filth into your bed with your wife. Don't you dare bring that filth into your bed with your wife. She is not who those pictures are portraying them to be. Those women are hurt women. Those women are addicted to drugs. Those women we work with in prison. It's sad to see them in that state. But you know what they were one day? A little girl. They were precious in God's eyes, but they thought they knew better. Them street people you don't like, those girls that you put down, those what you call the hoes and everything else, we love them.
That's right.
We love them and we want them to have Jesus Christ. Why? Because he can change their life. You go, oh man, he's being awfully open with his mouth. Do you know what the filth they're watching? I can just imagine the filth you're listening to. I don't care what side of the room you're on. If you got a phone and you're able to be by yourself with that phone, I know what you're doing. I don't allow my children to do that. People think, man, you're nuts. The people at work tell my son this all the time. You mean your dad still has control of you? As long as he's living in my house, I am the dad. I have control over their life. I say what goes on and not goes on. But let me tell you this right now. They ain't living with the hurt that some of you are. 16 years old, my daughter's going to be. She ain't living with the hurt that you're hurting. She ain't living with that stuff. She ain't got the depressions you got. She ain't got the scars that you're going to have for the rest of your life. That beautiful woman right there, Amy Moore, I can get her up here to talk to you about the filth that she done with her body. Ask her about the scars that she still lives with today. You ask them because you think it's such a joke. You think it's a game. You're going to live with those scars the rest of your life. I'm telling you today. You hold out until Jesus Christ and your dad or your mom tells you what you're supposed to marry and who you're supposed to be with. Get rid of that filth and it'll destroy you. Ask her. Ask my son what he's got to go through out there in the world. But they keep trying to push pornography on them. They take those pictures and go, here, faggot, why don't you look, faggot? Why don't you look, what are you, a little faggot? No, he's pure. He wants to be something for his wife. My goodness, what happened to that? There's going to be many people in this room who can never go to the altar as a pure girl or boy because they've already given it up. And you'll carry that scar for the rest of your life. God never intended it. God never intended it that way. It ain't just about the drugs and alcohol. It's about the uncleanness. It's about those sexual things. So I says, bind them on your fingers. Why? So when that situation ever came up, ladies, don't ever put yourself in a room with a man by yourself, ever. You young men, don't you ever go in a room with a girl alone, ever. Do I ever go in a room at all, ever, with a woman by myself? Never! Why? Because I want to protect her. Not from me, from everybody else, from people, from seeing things. Bind them upon, look at verse 3, bind them upon your fingers. Look at the second half of that. Write them upon the tables of your heart. He says, write them upon the table of your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Why would he hide God's word in his heart? So that when something came up, he could use it. How did Jesus Christ defeat the devil? Using the word. Amen. God wants us to hide the Bible in our heart. So when a situation comes up, we can say, I'm not getting into that. I'm not doing that. No thanks. I'm going this way. Oh, you want me to go right? I'm going to go left. But if it's not in your heart, you'll never be able to live it. You go, well, what is in my heart? Why don't you listen to your mouth? When you're not around church people, how's it sound? How's the cussing? How's what you're looking at? How's the TV? How's the radio? How's the music? I know a man, Brother Knickerbocker, grew up in a wonderful Baptist home. Wonderful. He's a man of God today. Wonderful. Grew up in a wonderful Christian home. He got up and he said, you know, behind my parents' back, I would go in my room and I would listen to rock and roll. And I'd start wanting to do those things that they did. And thank God his dad caught him one day and put a stop to it. Don't you tell me you young Christian kids aren't getting into that. Don't you tell me you people aren't getting into that stuff. You are. Most of you don't even have anybody telling you can't bring it in the room by yourself. They're letting you do whatever you want to do. It's a destruction to you. It'll be a destruction to you. It will be a destruction to you. Verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. He's saying make a bond with wisdom. Make a bond with understanding. Want to know these things. Desire these things. You see, he just gave us 7 things that if we do them, it will protect us from the world. It will protect us from hurt. It will protect us from depression. It will protect us from sin. It will protect us from those things that are out there to harm us and hurt us. He's given us a direction. He says, if you do these things, it will protect you. Look at verse 5. That they, what? These things that I've just told you to do, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. That strange woman is a picture of the world, outside of the Christian church, outside of the Christian family. Those things that are going on out there tonight, that's the world. The drugs, the drinking, the fornications, everything else, that's the world. He says, if you do these things, I will protect you from them. He'll protect you from that strange woman. He'll protect you from that world if you want it. And he says, from the stranger with flatter with her mouth. I'm going to tell you this right now. It looks real good. The devil makes sin look real wonderful.
Right.
Here, just try this one time. Look, you deserve it. Oh, you've been doing so good in your Christian schoolwork, and you've been doing so good in school. Here, just try a toke of this. Here, just try this. Here, just do that. And that's all it takes, man, in that hook. You know what happened? One day I got hooked. I couldn't get off that hook. I was stuck. And I was watching these people move on. I was watching them go on and start having families. And guess what I was doing? Sitting in jails and sitting in prisons and watching and watching. Most of my friends end up dying from drug overdoses and getting killed. But then there was those I would look and I'd say, well, that can't happen to me. That can't happen to me. Brother, it happened to me. It happened to me. And it can happen to you. And I just want to close with this. Look at the verse 6 and 7. For at the window of my house, this is a man looking out of his window, and he's looking to see what's going on outside. From the window of my house, I looked through my casement. He's looking through the window. Verse 7 says, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void. Understanding. You see, young people, you don't have it figured out. You do not know everything. You do not have everything figured out for your life. And here's a man looking through the window, and he discerned among the youth that they did not have wisdom. And you know what happened? The world came. And when the world came, put that hook in, set it, it was over with. It was over with. It don't have to be that way. If you're not saved here tonight, you can be saved. You can have that protection from the world. You can have the protection that Jesus Christ wants to give you, that your parents want you to have. You don't have to have what the world's having. You don't have to go out there and live that life. It's a good life. It's a clean life. It's a wonderful life. God has given me a life beyond anything that I could ever imagine. I didn't deserve it, but God in His mercy gave me that life. But it was only going to come by Jesus Christ. When He delivered me out of that gang, everybody said it'd be impossible for you ever to get out of that gang. Well, I stand here tonight, a free man outside of that. Why? Amen. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
15-year opioid addiction. Well, you need other drugs to get you off of that, Jesus Christ. Depression. Terrible, terrible depression. While I was sitting on the edge of my bed and asked God, just kill me. I can't take it no more. Deliver me. Addiction. God does it all. If you want it. If you don't want it, all I can say is, pray that God help people want it. Brother, I'm done.